Earners, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors. And it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, that's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait, don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, backdrop.
Backdrop.
F*** a mic drop. Backdrop.
Backdrop. All right, guys, welcome back. EYL. This is going to be an exciting episode, something that is near and dear to my heart. Oof. Something that's extremely, extremely important.
Yo. So that's a smile within the first 10 seconds.
Listen.
Yeah. It's going to be big.
Hey, for sure. I'm with it.
We did an episode. I forgot what number it was. It was a while ago.
Who?
No, it was content creation.
Oh.
It was just me.
28?
Something like that.
Yeah,
B. It was. We dropped two episodes in 1 week.
Yeah, we went back to back. Yeah.
And it was like A and B. So yeah, that second half of that episode was me talking about content creation. Because devoted a lot of time to learning about Instagram and content creation. It's very important.
Takes a minute.
Very important. So this is our follow-up. We brought an expert in, Nikki Saunders. So if you are familiar with her, you've seen her on Instagram. She does a lot of dope stuff, but my probably personal favorite thing that you do is you take other people's content and you break it down and kind of like explain it. Like, so you recently did that with one of our videos. Thanks. Yep.
Appreciate that.
Of course.
I know you.
A lot. A lot of Miami vibes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. You did it with Circle of CEOs event. Yep. A few people. And so, but before that, Eric Thomas, a legend in the game. So branding and content creator.
Yeah.
Head of branding and content for Eric Thomas. So you see ET, and you probably got introduced to ET on social media.
I did.
Now I'm talking about from
the general public. General,
I was like, they did too.
General public. So you probably got introduced to him on social media through a clip on Instagram, Twitter, whatever. And odds are Nikki probably made that clip, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So yeah, top of the line. So yeah. Nikki is a master in content creation across all platforms. And now she's stepping more out in the public. Has a podcast, more active on social media, growing a rapid following. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be an interesting conversation on how to build a brand online. Content creation is one of these things that there's really no college course for.
No, mm-hmm.
So a lot of business owners, you know, are losing out because they don't know how to, not just business owners, but just anybody,
yeah.
mm-hmm. you know, artists, whoever wants to become, you know, more popular on social media, they're losing out because they don't know how to go about making content, or even if you're hiring somebody, you have to actually have some level of knowledge, because you could be hiring the wrong person if you don't actually know.
If you don't have the vision yet.
Exactly.
It's not for the faint of heart, and it takes a lot of discipline.
Talk about it.
It really isn't.
Talk about it.
It's a specialty, and so we should treat it as such. And so, boys and girls, get your notepad. It's really special.
So, without further ado, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you having me. Yeah,
for sure. So, all right. So, let's get some backstory.
Let's do it.
How did you start in the content creation, and how did you start working with Eric Thomas?
So, I was in the Navy for about like 9 years, right? And once I got out, I was in IT, didn't really figure out like what to do. And of course, like anybody else, like I saw an ET video. I was like, who is this man yelling at me? What's happening? Why is he yelling? But I'm like so intrigued, right? Like I'm so intrigued what's happening. So I found out that he had like a online community called Breathe University. And I joined, and I just realized that on there, like I had like a voice. Like I was posting on in the group. I was doing all these videos, this, that, and the third. I did all the mashups, and they were like, yo, the mashups are fire, right? So for those who don't know what the mashups are, it's like when you take somebody's voice and you put like just regular video that goes along with it and make it work, right? So they were like, yo, you're everywhere. Like you're in all our events. You're in our group. Like you want to try this social media stuff? I was like, sure, I'm addicted to it, so why not? You know what I mean? Like, why not? But I started out with, like, that serving kind of heart, which kind of transferred to content creation, because I realized that what was missing with E's platform was that he wasn't serving as much as he does in real life. So when you looked at E's platform before, and what you normally see with other people's platform is, like, a lot of flyers, a lot of promo about self and things like that. We did, okay, what do the people want? The people want to hear him yell at you, hit the bars, give us motivation. And so I just created little clips like that over time. And it went from like 300K to now 2.1 million just on Instagram, and like millions on that, just serving the people. And that's like normally how I got started, with just the serving heart.
So what's the time frame, right? Because you said IT, you were doing that.
Yep.
And you came with adding value, which is important. A lot of people don't realize, like, add value, give value, give value.
Yeah.
At what point does ET recognize and like, who is this young lady doing all these things?
Right.
I need to meet her. Let's sit down with her.
So I would say about like that first year, like I said, I joined the community, but then when he was at the events, when I tell you, My little Honda was driving in every of these cities that he was at. I was there just to serve, and like I was on my phone recording. Mm. Like I just used what I had, and I created the different clips on my phone. And he's like, who is this little black and Puerto Rican chick? And CJ, his right hand, everybody knows I have the kicks. Like that's when I was just like, I have everything fresh. And he was like,
simple.
Yo. He's like, I need a size 14. I was like, say less. Like 2 weeks later, he had the bread ones, and he was like, who are you? Hello.
Sounds like we need to talk.
So he's like, who are, okay, yo, I'm a, whatever you need, let me know, right? And so I made sure that not E was taken care of, but like his right-hand man and Carl, which is his third. Right. And I just made sure, like, okay, what does the community need? Does anything need to be uploaded? I have an IT background. Let's do that. And I was doing it faster than majority of the people. So they were like, stay right here. You're not going anywhere. What else can you do? I was like, I like this. It wasn't even that I was really good at it. It was like, yo, I really like this, but I know this is missing on the social media. And he's like, okay, let's try that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, he's always on the road. We can't bring you. That's fine. You have 7 years of content, more than 7 years of content. I could just reuse that. And they're like, you can? I was like, yeah, you recorded it for a reason. So I just started clipping up all the old stuff and making it look new. And till this day, like that whole pandemic that just happened, like he didn't hit the stage at all. And he didn't lose a beat, because we were posting 3 times a day of just repurposing old content.
So repurposing, very important. We'll talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But so you have a level of background in like computer programming. Yeah. So, all right, yeah. That's important because people, it's not like you just came off the street. You know how to edit videos.
No, I didn't know how to edit video. The most that I knew about anything about videos was music videos. And I used to watch them religiously.
So how'd you,
I didn't, I'm just saying.
How'd you learn how to edit?
I just tried it. Like I started with iMovie, like majority of people. I just knew how to tell a story. Like if you could, if somebody says, hey, how are you doing? And you answer that, you know how to tell a story.
On the MacBook?
Yeah.
So you know what's so crazy? Because I'm going to talk about, you know, I still do our clips and I edit it. And, you know, I don't know how to use a computer.
No, he's not lying.
What?
The true story is this. Here's the true story. I got him a computer 2 years ago. I think it's still in the box.
I gave it to my son, actually. So.
What?
No, it's the truth. It's the truth.
So I had to do it on the phone, which actually helped me because I'll talk about all these apps, but yeah. I had to learn so many different apps.
Yeah.
Because you could do anything on your phone.
Absolutely.
And I learned how to edit on my cell phone, which is obviously not the best way to go about it.
But I will say it's the easiest because when I was doing that for E, for his events, all his clips from the events were from my phone. I didn't dare. Now we just got the rhythm to where I can get on the Mac and everything like that. But the first part was like, get that, put it in InShot, trim it up, put some words on it. We keep it moving. Like, I just, speed kills when it comes to social media. So like, that you just started with the phone and stayed there. I ain't mad at it because it's just easier and faster.
It is. Well, all right, let's get into this conversation then. So different types of content, yeah. But let's talk about the content that converts and actually has an impact.
Yeah.
Where Eric Thomas is at the 2 million level.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're trying to get to. So what's the content that converts and has impact?
Authentic content. And that sounds very cliche, but at the end of the day, the way the world has been with social media and content and everything like that, we just want to see you. And we just want to see what honestly you have to give and not being sold to. So if you speak, show us speaking. Like, mm-hmm. what do you speak about? Show us the important parts, like the first about 3 to 5 seconds, you need to get straight to the point. Don't give me, yo, well, my dog. I got a puppy in Christmas and in Christmas I was really sad and my mom, no one cares. Yo, I got a puppy and it flipped 9 times and here's it flipping. Like that's the point of it. Show us that in the first 5 seconds. So, you know, when we're looking at trying to create content that converts and that actually creates impact, what is your genius and show that consistently for like every single day? Not when I feel like it, I got time for like 3-4 times, like every single day, because everybody's posting.
Yeah.
And everybody's 9 out of 10 times is trash.
So yeah. When you're talking about clips that hit, yeah. I mean, obviously you're at a different level now, but
yeah.
even then, were there certain analytics or certain numbers that you saw that you reached and like, all right, this is one, or was it just like, all right, people are vibing to us, it's being reposted. Like, what were the analytics that you used to say, all right, we're going with this?
So I honestly went based off what the people said. So if we was to post about, let's say sports, right? A message of like, keep going and showing like basketball clips and like, yo, I needed that for the game. Yo, I didn't finish a chapter. And I'm going based off the clips of based off the comments of what they're saying in order to make the next one. Mm. Like the analytics are cool for the simple fact of age range and interest and things like that. But for a personal brand, like it goes more of what the people want. And so instead of asking them, I really pay attention to like, even though we may not respond all the time, I'm looking at it like, what are you honestly saying about it? Did you feel it? Did you not? I'm not only going based off the fires, I'm going based off the conversational wise in order to create next week's content. Mm. So the comment section is important, but if you don't get comments, yo, do polls, you know, like A, B, like show what you want to talk about, two topics, make them, you know, pick real quick, not the question box, but like just A, B, C, mm-hmm. and then create content after that.
And then also, I mean, I think people get, like me personally, I never look at insights.
Really?
Yeah. I never look at insights because I feel like there's no need to. I can see what's popping based off of how many views or how many likes something gets. So I look at it like if I put a video out and it gets a bunch of views, this is kind of content that people are into.
Right.
If I put a video out and it doesn't get a bunch of views, they're not into that kind of content.
So that's the tricky part. Like you can have one that has views, but let's say it has 1,000 comments because of the content in itself. That's why I said it's like a tricky line.
A tricky, what do you mean? It's not tricky at all.
Yeah. So if somebody's commenting on a post, right, and there's a lot of feedback and it's not bots, but it only has 6,000 views, they're engaged.
Right.
It didn't have the same amount of like 20,000 to 40,000 views. So does that mean we shouldn't go in that route anymore?
Well,
in that direction?
I'll let you answer. Yeah. My personal strategy is, my personal idea is, it usually correlates with each other. Usually you're not going to get a bunch of views on something that doesn't, a bunch of comments on something that doesn't have a lot of views. Usually they go hand in hand. And the whole point is to maximize the exposure. So the more views, the more likes, that's going to reach a wider audience. That's why the comments and the views and the likes go hand in hand. So for me, I mean, the easiest way is kind of to gauge what are people most interested in by what are they liking the most and what are they viewing the most.
But you're very aware of your content. See, so some people need the insights because there's like a system that I go through. It's like platform, audience, and you, right? So the audience part is where you need to look at the insights, because what about the saves? Like, so if you're on Instagram, the saves mean way more than possibly the views.
And the shares too.
Yeah, the shares. Yeah. So that doesn't show off top of like what you see. So you may have to hit that view insight for that particular one, or even, you know, in the overall insights. And it says like you can do the analytics and break it down to, okay, if I want saves, right? Because that's probably what's going to get you on the explore page. If people are saving it like crazy, 9 out of 10 times you have the right hashtags, 9 out of 10 times you're probably on the explore page.
Yeah.
Right. So if you are trying to get the maximum reach, those are the type of analytics that you kind of have to look at. You looking at views and comments is more catering to who you have right now, where like the saves and the shares is going to cater to the masses.
This episode of Earn Your Leisure is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's is more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. Over the years, it's become a staple in our community. It's the place you're guaranteed to see teammates after a big game, because everyone is headed to Mickey D's, win or lose. When I stop in for my morning breakfast of 3 hotcakes and a hash brown, seeing students using the Wi-Fi for their social media is all part of the routine. It's become the epicenter of the community. Whether it's gathering for a birthday party, and we've all been to a McDonald's birthday party, or the place that someone receives their first job, McDonald's grows with its patrons, which makes it the go-to place generation after generation. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
So both of them are like, both types are very, very important for that. But I still believe your analytics are going to give you the blueprint to your content strategy, because it's going to tell you exactly what the platform wants, and it's going to tell you exactly what your audience wants. Because like, for example, with Instagram, Reels is popping, right? So you're going to look at the analytics for which reel actually did something good, right? And duplicate that, you know? Whereas for the audience, you're going to look at how many people has done the shares and the saves and the comments, and you're going to duplicate that in order to nurture them so they can stay there, because you get unfollows every single day if you don't nurture that particular audience. So like insight, I'm not a big fan of always checking analytics, because I'm a very spontaneous person, but I know the importance, and I look at it at least once a month. Because I got to make sure that, okay, am I playing the platform game? Because at the end of the day, we got to get the maximum reach. And am I playing the audience game? Because I'm trying to build a community and trying to keep them safe and heard.
Nah,
that's good insight.
Yeah. So as far as growing a personal brand on social media, right? Yeah. Let's talk about that, because you have a business.
Yeah.
You can have a personal brand. Yeah. You can combine the two. I think people kind of get confused. Let's talk about personal brand first. Yeah. What are some things to do to grow a personal brand?
You have to show your genius, but show your human side as well, right? So we have to know what you're dope at. Like, we're not always interested in fluffy. Like, we love your kids, but we're not going to share your kids, right? So
no share kids. No,
that's kind of weird. It's kind of,
yeah.
It's,
you don't think it's humanized kind of, every once in a while?
So this is
no. I mean, like, I won't share your kids. Like, you'll share your kids, and you like,
but you'll like.
Oh, you mean like the, you won't share?
No, like we won't share the post.
Okay.
Yeah, you but you'll like the picture.
I like it because I like kids, but I'm not sharing.
Why would you share my kids?
Why would I do that? But they're cute. But like, I'm not putting it on my stories. Like, oh, he has cute kids. Like, it's like,
look at these kids.
Right. Look at them. They're so, no,
unless
I'm not
they
doing
got some
that.
Fresh kicks on.
See, okay, but then that's a theme. But that's a thing. I see what you did there.
I know the way to your heart. I'm reading the analytics.
Yeah, no. I see what you did there. But that's if you themed it out, right?
Yep.
And then I'll get you on the sneaker pages. But that's a whole different conversation, right? But like, you have to, when it comes to a personal brand, we have to know what you're dope at. And there has to be content that shows that. And then kind of put in the human kind of vibe, because we want to connect with you as a human. We want to know that you're not just, you're like, oh, that's a goal. Like, I want to be her or him at the end of the day. That may be true, but I also want to be able to talk to you. I want to also be able to connect with you and join your programs and feel like you're actually going to be there. You know, there's some personal brands that we see that we're like, I don't know if they answer their DMs. I don't know if I reach their assistant, this, that, or the third. And the great thing about creating a personal brand with like just that human connection is like, oh, you're reachable. You're not typical influencer that just doesn't pay attention to us after you have 10K followers. Mm-hmm. So by creating the dopeness and the genius part first, and then the human side, it gives a great blend of like, I don't know what you do, but I want a part of it.
Yeah. So what's the line, right? Because mm-hmm. I'm thinking like, after you show the dopeness, you show the human side, now we blend after we've done both. Is there like a system, like, you know what, I'm washing dishes or I'm going to the park with my kids, mm-hmm. but yo, here's my brand too. Like, what's that feng shui of like balancing those two?
So I always go with like setting boundaries. Like, first, what are some non-negotiables of what you'll post? Right? Yeah. Like, you may not be the one that wants to post about your relationship. You may not be, but then you may want to post everything about eating popcorn, right? So what is like two dope posts about your genius and maybe one about your human side, or create a whole feature, like stories may just be of your personal side, okay, where, you know, the feed is going to be more of the highlights of, you know, your genius, of your craft and everything like that. So people are like, okay, I know what he or she does. And it's very clear, because when I go on your social media or when I Google you, the content aligns with what you do. But then when I get to know you, I'm looking at your lives, I'm looking at your stories, I'm looking at maybe some of your reels, and that's more of your personal side. So you kind of have to find a feature that shows your personal side a little bit more, and that it completely blends with your craft.
So, all right. So what about growing a business brand?
Now that is where you really don't show anything personal. Like, but in order, the way the world is working right now, you got to kind of put a face to a brand, right? For the simple fact, the same reason why we grow a personal brand, we connect with people. We don't connect with logos. We don't connect with just regular brands. We connect with people. So if you show the people who are working for you, if you're showing like more of the behind the scenes of it, then that's giving more of the human side as well with the business. But you're going more focus on, all right, what is the product? What is the service? What is the stories behind the products and the services? Not just saying, hey, I got water, buy my water. It's like the water was created in order to help what pain point? You know, and the pain points are the pieces of content that you're going to be showing instead of necessarily the products. So when it comes to the business side, you're catering to your audience through stories and through behind the scenes of your employees.
So, I mean, on the business side, at what point, again, with balance, because I feel like some people have a business and it just becomes overwhelming. Yeah. Every 5 minutes they're in your face. And then it's like, you lost me. I'm unfollowing.
Right.
So for that scenario, like what is it? Is it like, all right, every 3 to 4 posts we do something about a product that we're doing, mm-hmm. but we show them the brilliance of our company?
I mean, it depends on that particular business, but I do believe with a balance of your customers, your employees, and then your product, because you want to show who honestly is using the brand, right? You want to, like, people want to have that kind of testimonials, want to see, like, people interact and be highlighted. Like, let's say if you, you know, have a hat brand, other people wearing the hats instead of the models, like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, I'll buy that, you know? So a blend of actual people, your employees, because it brings that human connection, and then the product kind of just lasts, but with a story still tied into the people.
So what are some ways to monetize content on social media? That's a big one.
Oh, where do you want to start? So
the $1 million question.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, first it starts with you, right? You're able to monetize your own content through literally just saying, let me put my Cash App on my content, right? Because you'll be surprised, as you're serving and you're giving value, people will want to bless you. And if you are not providing a website or a way for payment, they're like, what do you want? Let me pay you something, right? So, like, if you were to just put, like, your Cash App, your PayPal, Vimeo, whatever, first and foremost, just really discreet, that's one way. Of course, being your own, you know, having your own ads in your content is another way. You know, if you're selling a shirt, anything, sneakers, whatever, you put that in the middle of your content. Don't allow the platforms to kind of do that for you, because you've already created an audience and they're like, well, I'm watching 50% of your content already. If I put it into 30%, I may want this. So be your own way of monetizing first, but then, like, with different platforms. So Instagram has badges, they have Reels bonuses, and they have in-stream ads, right? Mm-hmm. So badges is if you go live, you have about like 10K followers or above, and you go live on a consistent basis, it's like a tipping system. So you have that. Reels, because it's really popping right now, they're giving creators money to create Reels.
How do you get paid to create Reels?
So it's based off plays. So for example, if you get 9.8 million plays, you get 8,500, right? That's, and they vary between bonuses. So they're playing around with it as far as, like, we'll give you 10,000 if you do this, we'll give you, you know, and each reel, regardless of how it does give you money. It could be a dollar, it could be up to $500, but they do give you money for each play that you have, right? And then with longer, which used to be IGTV, is now Instagram video. With longer ones, that's where Instagram is trying to be like YouTube and add their own ads to it. And it gets money that way. So that's one way from an Instagram standpoint.
So that would be like AdCast for YouTube?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, gotcha.
AdSense, yep.
AdSense?
Yeah, so it does that. Why? Because they're trying to compete with YouTube and they're trying to compete with TikTok. Because TikTok has the creator fund. Once you've reached about 10,000 followers over there, mm-hmm. you get paid for your TikToks. So they're trying to do that. They also... Actually, all platforms, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, and TikTok have kind of like a brand manager. So brands could go into your profile, look at your analytics, and see if they want to work with you. And they'll say, hey, create content, and we'll give you this amount of money. And you'll be able to see all the brands that are trying to give you different campaigns. So that's one. That's another way. Facebook has about like 7 different ways to make money. Like, they have in-stream ads, they have Insta articles, they have bonuses for Reels, they have subscriptions, they have stars, they have copyright management. They have a whole lot of things that people don't even know because they haven't even logged into a free tool called Creator Studio. Like Creator Studio will allow you to see from a monetization standpoint how all your content that is being able to be monetized. And it gives you like the different stats. Like you, if you go live, you're instantly like invited to do stars, right? If you hit 10,000 likes on your Facebook page, then it's like, okay, now you're able to do in-stream ads. Now you're able to do subscriptions. Now you're like, there's so many different tools and ways to monetize on Facebook. All you have to do is just log into Creator Studio and apply.
How does the article work? You said
you just write up articles.
So self-published articles that you write.
Yeah.
So Creator Studio is on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It like walks you through.
Yeah, and the great thing, it's also a scheduling tool. So you can schedule out all your Instagram and your Facebook posts on there. Stories, all that great stuff.
So I feel like, I mean, as the years have passed, it feels like Facebook has been like the old person's like social media. But yeah, obviously, we should be paying attention.
I mean, it's still the biggest platform.
It's still the biggest, still the biggest platform.
Yeah, by far. If we're not paying attention to these things, we're doing ourselves a
disservice, if we pay attention more, we will get more rewarded because that's where the money is. Yeah. Like, Meta's not playing. Like, they want it. But they understand it's where it's short form right now. It's, you know, YouTube is still killing it from a monetization standpoint. So we have to do something. So let's OD and give you all the money over here, but you're not going to pay attention because you're on TikTok and you're on YouTube and you're on Instagram. Yeah. And it's like some people like Country Wayne, he's known for making six figures off of Facebook, right? Not just Instagram, but Facebook, because he put his clips up and it was doing numbers and Facebook was like, you know what? We're going to give you this check.
So in the YouTube sense, I know we got AdSense.
Yep.
We got Super Chat. So there any other strategies to monetize?
They have merch and they have subscriptions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So what are some tricks and tips for Instagram?
Ooh. Okay. So let's start with hashtags, right? So hashtags, if people don't know, hashtags, think about it like blocks, right? Each block has a certain amount of people chilling on it, right? The more hashtags you put, the more people that you're going to be exposed to because you're going to all these different blocks, right? Now, some blocks have about 100 people on it, and some blocks have about 1 million people on it, right? So you have to kind of be strategic with what hashtags that you use. Now, Instagram said use between like 3 to 6, right? When they used to do 30. And
remember that.
Yeah, before it was like put a whole bunch of 30s, like 30 hashtags, do the highest numbers, right? And put it in the the first comment. Now they're saying do about up to 6 to 8, right? And put it actually in your captions because what we're trying to do is keyword in there. And so now once you type in a certain keyword on Instagram search, now we're able to pick that up. So people should be looking at about, I would say a strong like 6 to 8 going from wide to narrow. So what I mean by that is like 1 million going all the way down to like 10K. Right? Why? Because you want to go on the blocks that have a lot of people, but then you want to go on the blocks that have small people, because those are your specific audience, right? And at the end of the day, it's not necessarily about numbers. It's about really getting into your audience because those are the people who are going to be able to convert. So 6 to 8, and then using those, like having about like, I'll say 3 to 5 different batches of hashtags. Don't use the same one over and over and over again, right? Because that means you're just chilling on the same blocks every single time. You also get
shadow ban like that. I got shadow.
Like, yeah. Like,
well, so that used to be a thing. But that is like controversial because Instagram put out saying they don't shadow ban.
No, I got shadow banned twice. And
and I know a lot of people who have.
What happened was years ago, you know, it was a thing where you have like 30 hashtags and you just copy and paste it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the hashtags, but it wasn't. What happens with the ad is that, at least back then, it gets red flagged as spam.
Yes.
So and shadow ban me. How I knew I got shadow banned, A, my engagement went down dramatically, but how I knew I got shadow banned is like I typed in a hashtag, put a hashtag on the post, typed it in,
yep,
and then went to it, and then it wasn't there. It was a unique hashtag that nobody would ever have, like peanut butter and jelly, earn your leisure, like something that is only my hashtag. Yeah, okay. So when you type it in, there's only should be one post that shows up, but there's no post that shows up because the posts aren't showing. So I don't think they've ever actually acknowledged that the hashtag at shadow bans are real, but I can personally vouch that shadow bans are real because I've been shadow banned twice.
No, and it is like a real thing, but some people instantly go and say that they're shadow banned.
Right.
When it's honestly that their content just isn't working anymore.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to know the difference. So if anybody does think that they should do what he just said, which is like use a specific hashtag and just see if you pull up. If you do, you're not shadow banned. Your content just sucks, and that's okay.
That's okay too.
you just got to be aware of it and just make the adjustments.
But use hashtags that's relevant to the post.
Switch the hashtags. Don't use
the same hashtag.
No.
I'm thinking like if you, obviously when we post a lot of things about business and entrepreneurship, right? If we just do a hashtag that said friendship, there's more people that have the friendship hashtag.
Absolutely.
You're going to probably bring that audience in, but that doesn't even make sense to put something like that in.
Mm-mm, no, because you're going to, that's why I said you're going to attract a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right. But it's not what they want. And it's not the audience that you need because they're not going to necessarily buy or share or anything because you just got their attention for that one time and that was it.
Yeah.
Right. So you do want to go more specific with what the content is and who you are. Right. Because that's the people that you're looking for. Now, is that a slower kind of pace? It is. Right. So you're going to get numbers, but you're not going to necessarily get the numbers as if you did the bigger hashtags. But in the long run, you make more money that way. You get more impact that way by using the correct hashtags than just going with Super Bowl or, you know, Throwback Thursday
dog
and things
lover.
Like that. Yeah. And you don't have a dog.
Are there any specific hashtags? Like a lot of times bots take over your page.
Oh, God.
Is there like specific hashtags to stay away from to detract them?
Anything that's over 2 million. Anything, like if you look up a hashtag, it literally tells you how many posts are in that particular hashtag. Mm-hmm. So if you go and you check it, stay away from anything that's over 2 million because the bots are instantly like, oh, that's where the crowd is.
Yeah.
So let me go where the crowd is. And if you're going to put that, I'm going to flood it with, oh, my God, let me tell you about how much money I saved with so-and-so. And please, no, get away.
So let's talk about the most downloaded app last year, the most popular app for people under 21, I believe.
TikTok.
Yeah. So the importance of TikTok, what are some tips from TikTok? Because TikTok, the interesting thing with TikTok is that it's the newest out of all of the major apps.
Yes.
So there's still a lot of opportunity.
Yes.
But more and more people so the opportunity is not going to be there forever.
No.
So what's your thoughts on TikTok and what is some advice for people that's trying to do TikTok?
So TikTok is so addicting and so fun at the same time. But I love how like the older crowd is like, I don't know nothing about TikTok. But you spend 3 hours on it, so I don't know what you're talking about, right? You the one scrolling. So what's unique about it is that they actually award you when you use your phone. Like they give you so many different effects and filters and everything like that. You don't necessarily need a DSLR camera to create anything on TikTok. Majority of the things that you see is created on your phone. So when you're creating on TikTok, start with your phone, right? You can do you can upload anything you want, but start on your phone and use the trending effects. So for example, if you're starting the new year and they have like in 2022, you're going to be doing this and it kind of flip, use that because everybody is doing that, right? And the sounds as well is what gets you the most exposure. Filters and effects and sounds. And
it's like the computer lady voice.
Mm-hmm. That too, that part too, but like any of the trending songs.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what a lot of people are doing, even if they don't necessarily like the song, but they know that it's trending, they're going to lower the volume. Right. So the voice, you can still hear the voice, you still hear the point of what they're trying to do, but they're maximizing on the reach because they know that song is going to be working. So if you do that, and it's crazy because like you could do just drop the water and pick it back up and make a crazy face, and you put the right song on it, millions.
Out of here.
For no reason. Just because you know how to play the game of trending effects, trending songs, and I'm using the actual camera because they're going to reward the people who actually use the tools, because the platform spend too much time creating this stuff. If you don't use it, they're like, well, screw you. I don't like you.
One good advice that I got for TikTok that actually works is, especially if you're doing educational content, do the hook like at the beginning of the video. Like, meaning, like if it's a 60-second TikTok video, like start the video off with saying, how to lose 10 pounds without working out.
Yep.
And then go into what you're saying, as opposed to just trying to say, okay, start off with, you got to do cardio in the morning, and then it's like, you say whatever and try to make it like something that's really interesting. Like it's kind of like the equivalent of, you know, a headline on a news article. You got to, bigger than that though, you got to just catch somebody's attention real quick. And then it's like, now go.
Yeah.
And I've been studying TikTok, and that's one of the things that I've noticed. Like I said, especially with educational content.
Yeah.
Like the kind of content that we create or something like that. Like, it's important to let people know what they're getting right now.
Yeah.
Then go into it.
People have short attention span nowadays. Like, it is what it is. And even on longer form videos, they actually recommend that same kind of style of giving them a hook. If you see some of the YouTube videos.
Yeah, YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube will be like, in this video, blah, 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 blah. All right, let's get into the intro.
We started doing that actually recently, where you take the highlight of the video.
Yeah.
And that's the first 10 seconds.
Yep.
And then the video starts.
Yep. That's because that they know that in order to create retention, I got to get to the point right away, get there like, oh, this is what it's about. And then you could get to that point maybe super later in the video, but they already know what it's about. They're going to continue to watch. So with TikTok, those like, how to do this? Did you want to know 5 ways to do this? Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to want that kind of value in such a short amount of time. And it's going to work everything. But if, like you said, if you go, all right, step one, step two, step three, step four, step one about what? I'm going to scroll to, because I want to get to what I want to know.
For a business, right? There's a brand. I'm noticing somebody right now that's sending, like, I've been trying to do TikTok. It feels a little juvenile for me. I don't know what, like, they're counting that out as, like, you know what, I can't do it. Obviously, this is something you can do for yourself, but what is the time requirement for somebody to put out effective TikToks? And is there a schedule of how many times they should be posting on TikTok?
So, of course, the typical is bare minimum once a day. But if you're really trying to blow, it's like three times a day, right? And I follow this chiropractor, crazy, uses the trending sounds, right? Mm-hmm. And literally just gets to the point where, like, puts the mic and you hear the kind of thing.
Like when they crack
the Yeah. And it's been, right. And it's been blowing up.
Yeah.
But chiropracting is not sexy. Like, it's not an interesting topic. But if you do, like, just what people want to hear, like, they have what, the ASMR kind of the sound thing. Mm-hmm. They know people want to hear that. They want to hear the cracks and they want to hear the trending sound. Boom. Not all businesses have to dance, have to do the pointing stuff or anything. But what you do have to do is find the point of your business, highlight it, and use something trending to it so it makes it sexy.
Yeah, it's important. What do you feel about, like, titles? Like, people put titles on videos.
It's needed because, once again, it's one of those things that will keep your attention. I know exactly what it's about. Like, I'm not guessing. So, like, titles and captions is the easiest thing to do in order to create retention, right? Because if you don't have a title and if you don't have captions, that means I have to, like, really watch you, right? And 9 out of 10 times, we're not watching it with sound on, right? So if we had sound, we may be able to watch it longer, but we're only given a certain amount of time. Now, if you have a title and it's saying how to do this or the fire is bars from so-and-so, I'm watching it, right? But if you don't have anything, I have to assume what it is. And you don't want to assume, you don't want the followers to assume what your content is. They need to know right then and there in order to watch it.
That is a fact. It's very, it's like newspaper or anything, a magazine. Imagine if a magazine never had any titles. It just had words.
Words and pictures.
You'd be guessing. Like, if you was interested in a picture, like if you just seen Jay-Z and you're a huge Jay-Z fan, you might read it.
Right.
But that would be extremely difficult to retain people's attention.
Yeah.
If there wasn't titles.
And it, we have to look at what we like outside of social media in order to improve our content. So what I mean by that is, like, if we're trying to promote something and, like, we watch movies, we see trailers, right? We see how they do, like, really quick, like, a, an action scene real quick. They'll show, like, the credits, and then they'll get to the story, and that's it, right? The same kind of things with our content. Like, let me see something right to the point, get to an intro or something, because why? Because we've seen other media outlets do it. And if we like it, then we should do it ourselves. And what people do is just they just watch other people's content and that's it. But it, we have to ask every single day. I, like every at least five posts, I go, why did I like this? Why did I just comment on this? Why did I just share it? You know? And then I try to execute on what I actually liked. So if somebody had a title, I'm going to have that kind of title, change the font, change the location of it because I'm not trying to copy it, right? But I like the idea of it. Or, okay, this person did like shortcuts real quick. So it changed from you to the main person real quick, fast to keep my attention. I'm going to try to do that as well because I know looking at a person for too long, I'm going to lose interest. And so how do I make sure, even though I'm talking, I change different angles side by side by side? Why? Because I've seen it on music videos. I've seen it in movies. I've seen it in this. So you got to look at content, not only from a consumer side, but how do I produce exactly that? Because if I like it, at least 100 other people like what I like.
Yeah. As you were saying it, I'm thinking like, I was just watching Don't Look Up. The movie's playing for like 5 minutes before the title even comes out. I'm like, damn, we've been trained this whole time in movies. We just weren't looking at like that's content.
Yeah,
but it is. I got a question for like a brand or somebody. What application should they be on? In level of importance, and obviously Facebook is number one. But if we're building a brand, building a business, what are the applications we should be on? Definitely.
So I think it really depends on who you are, right? Because I'm really big on understanding who you are to create content. So I always break it down into something simple as like, are you an introvert and an extrovert? Right? Because if you're an introvert, you're not going to always do videos. You're not going to feel comfortable in it. Even though this is a video driven world right now, what it seems like, there's still a whole audience of other introverts that are looking for your quotes. They're looking for your blogs and articles and things like that. Right? So YouTube may not be the thing for you. Right? Medium, which is a like a blogging platform, that may be. LinkedIn articles, that may be. Like, that may be your vibe, right? Quotes on LinkedIn, YouTube, not YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, that may be your vibe. You can get a whole audience. Shout out to Madi, right? Madi does all these different quotes. That's it. He hates video. And he has over 100K followers on Instagram. Doesn't plan on doing video, right? Now, if you are an extrovert or an ambivert and you can do video, can you do it for a long form time? You're going to want to do YouTube. Why? Because YouTube is the Google for videos. If I'm trying to search for something, I'm going to go on Google and your video is going to pop up, or I'm going on YouTube about how to do this and your video is going to pop up. So from a longevity standpoint, you always want to do YouTube because it lasts longer than any other social media platform, right? Of course, you're going to want to do Facebook because that's just still, that's still the vibe, right? For short form videos, you're going to want to concentrate on TikTok and Instagram, right? The one that is blowing up right now that everybody does need to pay attention to is LinkedIn. It's super organic. It's just, and what they're trying to do is kind of steer away from, I'm always professional. I'm only about resumes and hiring and everything, to like, no, we're a social media platform too. We actually have really some dope creators, and we'll give you organic reach that is missing right now.
They have hundreds of millions of users.
Yes. Yeah. And that's where the bag is. Yeah. Like clients and things like that. We, you know, getting money from these platforms is cool, but the real money is with these deals, right? The real money is with sponsorships and things like that, the things that you can control, and they're on LinkedIn.
Yeah, there's a lot of corporate, so mm-hmm. that makes sense. If you're trying to get corporate dollars or getting deals, it makes sense to be there.
Yep. Yeah. So it just depends on who you are and what type of brand you are, and really finding your vibe of, because social media is already an uncomfortable place. We're not like, we didn't wake up being like, oh, okay, you know what? I just wanted to tell my story to everybody. Now, some people are, because, you know, that's what it is, but not everybody is like that. And so you have to find a social media platform that you're comfortable in, because everybody's on all social media platforms.
That's crazy. When you were talking about that, it made me think of Justin LaBoy. Before we knew who he was, before he had, respectfully, Justin, it was quotes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we knew. Like, he was like, I'm like, I've never seen this guy before.
Right.
That's interesting.
But he killed it with that. Like, you have to master that piece of content that you feel comfortable and that you can consistently do all the time. And then you can do the video. And then you can try all these other avenues. But if you don't master one piece of content and one platform, because you think about it, we don't know, let's say, give me your favorite social media influencer.
Rashad Bilal.
Give me yours.
Good choice.
Good choice.
My favorite influencer?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very mad at that.
You know what? I'm going to be honest. I don't really follow a lot of influencers. I'm more like brands.
Okay.
So like Bleacher Report. I follow like SportsCenter, like a lot of those type. Or Bleacher Report. I would say Bleacher Report.
So let's say, where do you watch most of Bleacher Report's content?
Instagram.
Okay. So my point is, you don't go saying, yo, it's so-and-so from social media. You identify them with a platform. Why? Because they've dominated on that. And then their content gets repurposed everywhere else, right? So that's why I'm really big on figure out the content, figure out the platform, and do that, because then you can take that same content and repurpose it everywhere else when you have a team.
Yeah, that's what... Even if you don't have a team, if you create like what we do, mm-hmm. like if we do, let's say it's a TikTok video that's made for TikTok. Now, we can put that, as long as it's under a minute, we can put that for IG Reel. Yeah. And then we can put it in Facebook.
Yeah.
And we can also put it on Twitter.
Yeah.
And just like a tweet, you put a tweet out, take a picture of the tweet, put it on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
and then publish it to Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So now you just create content for one native platform, but you can usually repurpose that.
Yeah.
Especially videos. You can put videos anywhere. Mm-hmm. If it's under 2 minutes to 22 seconds, I think 20 seconds, you can put it on Twitter.
Yeah.
So a lot of times people think they got to create all different content for different platforms.
No, but it is about giving a different, it depends on your goal. It does depend that. To creating a different experience on each platform. Why? Because if I'm comfortable on Instagram and you're reposting the same exact thing everywhere else, I'm gonna stay on Instagram, right? So like, you may do a reel on Instagram, but you do a take that same clip and make it maybe 10 seconds longer and put it on Facebook. That's still a different experience. Change the caption up. That's still a different experience, right? What people tend to do, which is the biggest no-no, is just share that to Facebook. Hit that share to Facebook thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, why don't I have the same experience? Why don't I have the same likes and engagement? Because you didn't cater to the platform. Like, hashtags don't necessarily work the same way on all platforms, right? So repurpose it, but repurpose it strategically. So if I'm going to do a tweet, I'll do a tweet at 9, post a picture on Instagram at 9 as well, but that tweet is going out on Instagram about 4 o'clock, right? Mm-hmm. And a video may be going out on Facebook, but then that same video is going to be on YouTube. And like, you got to be strategic with the repurposing.
And then also, for repurposing, you don't necessarily have to do the exact same thing, but you could do the same content. So what I mean is, like, if you do like an article on Instagram, right? And it's a picture. Mm-hmm. And then the caption explains what the picture is about.
Yeah.
You can take that caption and make it a tweet.
Yeah.
Which is different.
Mm-hmm.
Because one's a tweet, one's actually a picture with a caption.
Yeah.
And then also for the video, like what we do sometimes is like, for like this interview, right? Might get one clip that's long form.
Yeah.
Like the whole phone. Mm-hmm. And that'll just be for like an IG reel or a TikTok with the same clip vertical.
Mm-hmm.
And then that'll be for like Twitter and Facebook. And then the vertical one will have like a title on it. So it's a different look.
Yeah.
Even though it's the same content, one is more of a real form. One is more of a long form video.
You know who's doing it really dope from a podcasting standpoint? Rory and Maul. So I don't know if you've seen their content. So they'll do videos with captions on it. And what they'll do is take screenshots of different frames from that video and create a carousel saying kind of the same story, right? So they could take that particular carousel or those particular screenshots and they could put it on YouTube as kind of like a carousel and on Facebook as a carousel and LinkedIn where it came from a video. So normally people create all separate types of carousels on it, which carousels is amazing. If you're not putting it on your content strategy, you should, right? But they're saying, okay, we're dominant in video, but I'm just going to take some screenshots, do some crazy faces with the screenshots, right? And let that tell the story instead of depending on people watching the video, because we have to understand people receive information differently. Mm-hmm. Not everybody likes video. We like to read.
It's like the news article that comes up, and mm-hmm. it's like, all right, well, now you got to slide, because now I have to see what this picture was about.
Yeah.
Well, you got to pay attention to what's popular on, because like me, that's why I follow a lot of sports pages, because I don't really get inspired by financial literacy pages, because I feel like the financial literacy pages kind of follow us a lot.
Yes.
So it's hard to get inspired by somebody who you're inspiring.
Talk that talk.
No, it's just reality. But
modestly speaking.
But I say that to say, so I noticed what you're talking about. I noticed that from like ESPN Bleacher Report when I saw it start to happen, and like where they have like a picture of Steph Curry shooting a three.
Yes.
And then the next slide is the actual play.
Absolutely.
And I was like, why are they doing this? And then I started to realize like that was like a trending topic
mm-hmm.
on Instagram, where you're breaking or even breaking the video up.
Yes.
As opposed to just having one long video.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like anything. I feel like social media, you really, the best way is to really like stay up to date.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's hard to like just dibble and dabble in it because you're not, it changes so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the another reason why that trend also works is because you have to think of how am I going to keep users on the platform longer? Right. So I already caught your attention with that picture. Now, if you go to the next slide, I'm keeping you for at least another 60 seconds watching the video
mm-hmm.
and you get rewarded by that because the platform's looking at it like you're keeping my people here. Yeah. I'm making money off of this. So any type of content that you're creating, you have to think about it like, how do I keep people longer on the platform? Hence why, if anybody remembers when Facebook like stop really rewarding people just putting up your YouTube links. Like those got really trash engagement. Why? Because you're taking people off Facebook.
To go to the site.
Yeah.
So if you create content that keeps them on longer, right? Now that's where you'll see the engagement go up over and over again. So once people saw, okay, I just got to take a picture and then show the video. Well, let me just do that over and it starts trickling, not just from the sports standpoint, but then from everyone else seeing it just because they know it's a play of I got to keep the people on there longer.
It's like when they remove the swipe up and now you got to put the link. So
there you go.
These are trends. And so now I'm interested because like you're the expert here. So you started with the mashups,
yeah.
Right, with the sound over
yeah.
And then now we see the carousels and the screenshots that lead to videos.
Yeah.
So what do you see is like the next trend? What are you seeing out there that's like, all right, this is where this is headed?
I'll tell you this. It's not necessarily the next trend. You have to master short form.
Okay.
As TikTok stays number one, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all of them are going to try to create a true short form competitor, right? So until TikTok gets knocked down, there's not going to be a new trend. There's not going to be nothing real. Like, you have to master being able to do something within 15 to 30 seconds. Do they allow a minute? Yeah. But if you can master 15 to 30 seconds, think about it like it's an appetizer, right? You give somebody an appetizer, they're going to be like, okay, I want the full meal, right? So your short form videos are going to be the appetizers of your brand, right? And so the more that people see it, they're like, okay, what else do you have part of? Like, okay, maybe I'll see a 60 second. Maybe I'll read a blog. Maybe I'll go to your YouTube and things like that. But if you don't necessarily have short form videos in your arsenal right now, people, it's starting to fade a little bit for them, right? So even with YouTube Shorts and things like that, like we have to figure that mastery out. We have to figure out that formula of the hooks. We have to figure out the formula of the texts. How do we make things pop up? You know, we have to figure out, you know, how to use the sounds, how to use the different effects, how to be using more of the tools that they give us, rather than necessarily how do I make doper, longer content, or how do I take better pictures and things like that? How do I get another one is AR. AR is, you know, with the filters is crazy. For those people who are interested in creating AR filters, that's going to be a wave, because you have to think about, okay, these creators need to do something with their content. So if I'm creating a dope AR filter for it, mm-hmm. not only does that bring attention to my brand, it brings attention to the creators, a win-win situation, and they're going to go to you for more stuff. So short form and AR filters, I think, is those two things to concentrate on.
So like TikTok, you can create a lot of most of the content on your phone.
Yep.
But like if people are still interested in maybe IG or just, you know, what are some apps that they can possibly use, like that, you know, mm-hmm. on a computer to just create more high level content?
So I'm big on creating like your media team, right, with apps, because not everybody can afford a videographer and a photographer, right? So for your video editor, you're going to use InShot. You're going to use apps like VideoLeap. You're going to use apps like, what's another one? VidLab. You know, those apps are really good for iMovie if you really want to start it out. But InShot, VidLab, oh, CapCut is my new favorite one. I'm not going to lie.
What is CapCut? It's one of the top apps.
Oh, I love CapCut.
It's one of the top apps of 2021.
So it is a video editor and a photo editor. So you can do captions in there. You can do titles in there. You can do transitions in there. You can make a still picture like turn into a video, so it does like kind of like 3D kind of thing. You can do the cartoon, the big head, like the effects that it has in there. You can remove backgrounds. You can do green screen. It's everything for free. Like other services, you have to pay for all these different features. It's super free, and it's super easy. It's definitely one of my favorite apps. So, if I were to put it in order, CapCut, InShot, and VideoLeap is my three top ones that I use on a regular basis for video editing. Now, a photo editor, because please stop taking pictures and not editing it. It's not cute. It's not sexy.
Like taking with just
a regular, yeah, like with no your resolution. Camera and just nothing. It's no like there's too many apps that makes you look like a photo editor, right? So you have VSCO, you have Lightroom, and you have Snapseed is my top three for having a photo editor on your team, right? Now, if you want a graphic designer, you're going to look at Canva, you're going to look at Adobe Spark Post, and you're going to look at, what's the other one that I use? Yeah, it's PhotoLeap, because they have VideoLeap and PhotoLeap. PhotoLeap, right? So those three, especially Canva, right?
Canva.
Why, like, they have everything in there. Like, you want to look for a newsletter, they have a newsletter template. You want to look for a YouTube thumbnail, they have that, right? Email it, like, everything is right there. People are getting paid to create templates. Use them, right? Just change the colors, change the fonts, things like that, right? And then the last thing is people are going to need a social media manager, right? Use a Creator Studio. or Facebook Business Suite. That's another one. Later or Buffer. Those are the apps that will allow you to schedule out your content that you're making now, right? And for you to be consistent, because what the biggest thing is when you create a whole bunch of content, they're like, all right, when do I post? I don't have time. I have real life. I have kids and mom and all that great stuff. Yeah, just give it to your social media manager, AKA the app, and let them post it for you. And all you got to do is change it back, you know, check on the times that you do, go engage with it, and that's it.
That's a whole lot of game.
Yeah, definitely. You can be rewarded for low quality videos, but not low quality pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Two different things. Keep your pictures up to par.
I love taking good pictures. That's why I knew Canva, because mm-hmm. I'm like trying to study photography.
Listen, Canva is a cheat code. No, I promise you, Canva is a cheat code. Lightroom is a cheat code, and CapCut is a cheat code.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
This episode is a cheat.
That's a fact. So what's next for you? What's on your horizon?
Man, it seems like everything content creation. So I'm going to be a creator on LinkedIn. That's why I said LinkedIn is starting to do some different things.
Your creator, what does that mean?
They have a creator accelerator program. So only like 100 content creators got picked in order to like make LinkedIn look like us, right? Okay. Pretty much. So that where you're going to have like exclusive content on LinkedIn for about like 10 weeks, that's happening. I got Nikki and Moose the podcast just completely killing that up, like wanting to really dominate in the, you know, the remote space more of as a podcast, breaking down, you know, brands and businesses, but more not just talking about their accolades, but how did they build the brand?
Right. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Like we just had Wall Street Trapper.
Yeah. I saw that.
It was like, we leave all like the story and the stock stuff for everybody, for y'all and everybody else, cause that's what it need. But y'all, how did you build that brand? Like, did you have a PR person? So that's like kind of what we go through with Nikki and Moose. And that's really my main thing, deeper than the brand, teaching other people how to create content, how to build their brand. You know, that's my main focus of this time.
Dope. Thank you for joining us. How can the people contact you? Social media handles and all of that.
Yeah. Everything at This Is Nikki's, N-I-C-K-Y with an S, right? Mainly on Instagram, though. I'm big on Instagram. I love it. I'm going to be active in LinkedIn, too. So find me there, too.
Yeah, shout out to all the Microsoft investors.
Yeah.
Yeah, we gotta get on LinkedIn more.
Yeah, yeah.
Got to do some stuff on LinkedIn. Something that we kind of not put a lot of energy in.
Oh, no. I'm telling you.
That all changes today.
I'm telling you. They're
LinkedIn
different.
Looks like us.
Shout out to LinkedIn. Troy, housekeeping items.
Yeah, shout out to everybody on patreon.com. Shout out to all of our earners in EYL University, the number one place for everything in the world of business and entrepreneurial endeavors. Shout out to everybody that's supporting our merch. I got my one-on-one. Shout out to Soul Dye. They made our Dye.
I'm trying to get a tracksuit. I ain't gonna lie. I got credit card ready. Credit card ready.
You're officially alumni.
I'm just letting
you. Got your Spurgo on.
Listen, shout out to Spurgo. Yeah. Shout out to Spurgo.
My young boy just hit his 16th birthday. Shout out to him.
And, the tape too.
Shout out to y'all for locking in with us, man. We appreciate the support as always.
Yeah, you know what's so funny about LinkedIn before we leave? So shout out to my man Harold. So we have a friend that he works at LinkedIn. So before, you know.
No.
So before we started Earn Your Leisure, I was running around just, you know, trying to make as many connections as possible. So the week before Earn Your Leisure dropped, I went to visit him at the LinkedIn office in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling him, like, yeah, we about to start this podcast called Earn Your Leisure. It's going to be big. Like, it's going to be real big. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just kind of explaining to him. He's listening. He's walking through the office and all of that. So that was like my first time actually like telling somebody about Earn Your Leisure.
Yeah.
At the LinkedIn office in Manhattan 3 years ago. So it's history. There's history there.
LinkedIn is
a... We'll be back in the office. Shortly.
That is a fact. All right, guys. Thank you for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
My graduates from my school being Forbes. Bag drop. F*** a mic drop. Bag drop.
the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.